You have your Bible turned tonight to the 143rd Psalm. Psalm 143. And the Bible says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know thy way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul." Now listen to what he says, "For I am thy servant." I want to preach just a little while tonight, if God will be my help, on this thought. A servant of God. Do you consider yourself a servant of God tonight? Amen. I consider myself a servant of God. I want to do my best, praise God, just to serve my Lord. I come short, just like we all do. We all fail, come short every day. But praise God, we ought to have a desire to be a servant of God. Now, David starts out here, and he says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my supplications." Now, he's going to the Lord, and he said, "Lord," and he said, "In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness." He said, "Lord, I need an answer from you, and I need a..." Now, I like what David prays is. He said, "Lord, I need an answer from you," but he said, "I want the right answer." Amen. Hey, if he's going to get it from God, it'll be the right answer. He said, "I want it in righteousness. That's right in the eyes of God." He said, "I don't want a bunch of men's opinions." He said, "I don't want a bunch of ideas." He said, "I want what's right in the eyes of God." You know, that's what I want tonight as a servant of God. I want what's right in the eyes of God. And he says, "And enter not into judgment with thy servant." Now notice how David puts this out here at the beginning. He said, "Enter not into judgment with thy servant." He said, "Lord, it's me." Amen. It's David. It's thy servant, Lord. I'm coming to you, praise God, as your servant. I wonder what would happen in our prayer life, in our Christian life, is if we started coming to the Lord as his servant. Paul did. Peter did. James did. All the great men of God, men of renown, praise God, they entered in before God as a servant of God. The servant, the bond, Paul said, "I'm the bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "I was that servant, praise God, that could have been set free, but I didn't want to. I got up against the door and I said, 'Go ahead, poke a hole in her.'" Amen. I'm just going to stay on my Lord's side. Amen. So David says, you know, he said, I'm thy servant. He said, "Enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified." Now he's talking about, Paul says the same thing here in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, where he's talking about justified by the deeds of the law. And he says in Ephesians, "It's not of works, lest any man should boast." Amen? So Paul here said, "Hey, look, I'm servant." He said, "I can't be justified outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't be justified outside of God Almighty." He said, "It takes a righteous judge to be justified." Amen. He's the only one who can justify, put away our sins just as if they never happened. Ain't you glad for that? Amen. Don't matter what you did in your past. There's a lot of folks sitting in churches all over this country, and they say, "Well, you know what? Or sitting at home, most of them ain't made it to church because they said, 'You know what? I've been so mean that God can't forgive me.'" That's a lie of the devil. God can and God will forgive you. If we come and we ask Him, praise God, He'll just as if we had never sinned. Why? What does He do? He takes the blood and applies it to our life. Covered up that multitude of sins. Past, present, and future. Praise the Lord. Now, does that mean that we can just go out and sin all we want to? Yeah, because you're not going to want to. Amen? Your want to is going to be changed. Amen? So the answer is really no, you can't sin all you because you won't want to sin. If you're a child, if you've got Jesus living in your heart, praise God, you won't want to sin no more. Amen? Because you won't want to break the heart of your Savior. You're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you're, praise God, you belong to Him, you won't want to break His heart. He's watching down on you, praise God. He died for you. He, glory to God. He carried a cool cross of Calvary all the way to top of Mount Calvary for you. And if He's willing to do that for you, lay down His life for you, praise God. We ought to be just sold out and be a servant unto Him. He's worthy. He's worthy of us being a servant. Amen. He covers our sin just as if we'd never sinned. Now David's talking about a time here, and I believe myself this is a time that this took place when he was running from Absalom, when his son Absalom was pursuing, trying to take the kingdom from him. You remember the story over in 2 Samuel chapter 15. But I believe David here, he says in verse 3. He said, "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead." Amen? Now he's talking about here. He said, "Don't bring me into judgment, Lord, because I'm your servant, the judgment of thy servant." He said, "Hey," and it wasn't David. He didn't make himself a servant. God called him a servant. You remember over in 2 Samuel chapter 7? Second Samuel chapter 7, when he said, "My servant David." You remember when David got up there and he got up there and he said, "Lord, you know what?" He said, he called Nathan to him, the prophet. He said, "You know what?" He said, "I've just been thanking Nathan." He said, "Here God has blessed me. He's brought me into the kingdom, praise God. He's lifted me up. He's built me a house of cedar, praise the Lord. A magnificent place of splendor to live. And the ark, praise God, the very presence of God is recognized in tents." And he calls Nathan to him. He said, "You know what? I need to build God a house." And Nathan says, "Well, king, well said. That's probably what you ought to do. That sounds promising." Amen. And old Nathan goes down the road, goes to bed, and wakes up in the middle of the night, and God says, "Whoa, Nathan. Can't happen." Amen. He said, "That ain't gonna happen." He said, "He can get the stuff together, but said he's not gonna build." Look over right quick. Let me just show it to you. 2 Samuel chapter 7. So it came to pass that night, verse 4, that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David." Amen? So where did David get the handle of "my servant"? From the Lord. The Lord said David was his servant. Amen? So he says, "Go tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle." Amen. And then he goes on down. He said, "The house you build of cedar wood." And in verse 8 he said, "But now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David." So see, it was God Almighty that called David his servant. Well, how did God know to call him a servant? Because he knew the attitude of his heart. How does God know? How can we be a servant of God? How does God know that we're a servant? Because the attitude of our heart. Why we do things? Why do you do things that you do? Huh? We do it, if we do it from a servant's heart, praise God. God knows our servant's heart. Amen? He can see it. But He speaks to him so many times through here. Amen? So that's what David's doing here in the Psalm, in the 143rd Psalm, when he's speaking of this and speaking of being that servant. Now he goes on through to chapter 7 and he begins to speak. And in verses 18 through to 29, I think I counted them the other day, 10 times David says, calls himself thy servant. He's talking to God. He's praying to God. And he says, thy servant. Thy servant. In verse 25 through 29, he says it seven times. He wants God to recognize and know that he's on his side. Amen. I tell you today, us children, praise God, in the last days that we're living, we ought to want God to know that we're on his side. We ought to go out of our way to let God know that we're on his side. That's what David was doing, praise God. And when you get on God's side, God's on your side, praise the Lord, you got things fixed up pretty nice. Amen. I wouldn't want to have it any other way, praise the Lord, than to be on his side. So he said, but he goes on here that he's got it established. He said, God has already made a covenant with David. He's promised him a posterity in the land, a prosperity in the land. Amen. Promised to preserve his heritage, that his kingdom would stand forever. Amen. If we're promised a kingdom that'll stand forever, why wouldn't we sell out to God and say, Lord, I'm just going to be your servant, looking for my kingdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. That works. That gives you joy down in your heart, praise God. Because you got that, what I preached on our Sunday night, you got that hope, praise God, which is faith with expectation. Looking for that blessed promise, praise God, in the days ahead. That's what I'm a desiring, praise God. I've got hope. Amen. Faith with expectation. Praise the Lord. But David goes on. Now he said, enter not in thy judgment with thy servant. And he's looking back. He's for in thy sight shall no man be justified. He said, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. David was looking back to 2 Samuel chapter 7 when things was good. Amen. God had done set him up. He had made him a king. Set him up over. Gave him a kingdom. Praise God. Things was looking good. Hey, it's easy to say, I belong to the Lord, I'm serving the Lord, when your things is looking good. Amen. It's when things start to get rough, it's when it starts to say, well, you know what? Maybe there's a better way. I won't say there's no better way than serving the Lord. He goes on, verse 3, says, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. Now, the reason I say that, I think this is, some people say, well, you know, I don't know if what he's talking about here, and this kind of ties in with the millennial kingdom, the millennial to come. But praise God, I believe he's talking about whenever Absalom, amen, rose up and tried to take the kingdom, because he speaks and he says, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me. Now, we know it's not God. Amen. So I believe that with my heart and my teaching, my understanding, praise God, that when Absalom rose up against him and he was smitten, praise God, and he was run out of Jerusalem. But he said, my enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness. He says, those that have been long dead. Now notice what the Bible says here. He said, David said, you know what? I've been persecuted. The enemy, he's come upon me. He said, I've been pushed out. He said, I don't feel safe no more. Amen? Do you ever get the feeling where you don't feel safe no more? I believe we all come to that place sometimes. We just don't feel safe no more. We feel like we're the enemy's trying to push us out. He said that the safety's gone. And he says, he hath made me dwell in darkness. Seems like you're in the dark, amen, that there's no light around. They can't find even a nightlight, praise God, to shine a little bit of light so you can see your way. He said, not only is there the darkness, but he said, as those have been long dead. He said, not only it feels like you don't have a safe place and that you're in the dark, but he feels like you've been long dead. He said, it's just like you've died and you've been forgotten. Amen. He said, you feel like you've done passed on and even the memories is gone. Nobody's even thinking about you. See, what he's talking about is when he was run out of town, praise God, all the folks had done gathered up with Absalom. They'd done sided with him and turned their back on David. Except for a few. Amen. Amen. There was a few that stayed faithful to David. He says, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. He said, I've done law. He said, I've lost all those, even those that was closest to me. Oh, Ahithophel, my beloved counselor, praise God, even he's deserted me and went to the other side. My counselor, who I counted on, who I trusted to give me good godly counsel, said, he's deserted me and went to the other side. He said, I'm desolate. He said, I feel like I'm all alone. Now, he's getting right down to where we live now, ain't he? Do you ever feel like you're just out there all by yourself? Amen. You're like you're in this thing and nobody else. You know, the kind of the Elijah syndrome. Said, Lord, here I am. I'm the only one left. We do that a lot, praise God. We all do it. We think, well, I'm the only one that's trying to do right. But God said, hey, Elijah, said, wait a minute. So I've got 7,000 over there that's never bowed a knee to Baal. Amen. I want to say, praise God, when you feel like that, praise God, just look around because God's got a whole multitude out there that's never bowed their knee to Baal. They're still in that good fight of faith, amen, trying to do that that's right. Praise the Lord. But you see here, David, he's in a place where he's broken, he's lonely, he's afraid. You ever been in any of these? Broken, lonely, and afraid? Amen. He's overwhelmed. He feels like he's desolate. He's been left alone, that nobody cares. I believe we can all relate to these, especially that overwhelming part. We've all been in a place where we feel overwhelmed. We feel like we don't have no help and we don't have no hope. But thank God for God. But listen to what he says. He said, I remember the days of old. Said, I meditate on all thy works. So what David's saying here, he says, you know, I've come to a place in my life, it just seems like I don't have anywhere to go. He's run out of Jerusalem. He's out there by the River Jordan. Amen. They all gather up over there at the Jordan. And they're waiting, I guess, till the next day to cross over. Amen. You know the story where he's run out of Jerusalem. And he's there and it seems like there's no hope and that there's nowhere to go. And he looks the Lord right in the face between beak and bill. And he says, I remember the days of old. He said, I remember the good days, Lord, when we spoke and you spoke to me and things was going good and I was a listening and you was a blessing and things was good all over the kingdom. I remember, Lord, when you was high and lifted up and had control and you was in charge of everything. He said, I remember that, Lord. Could you look the Lord tonight in the face and say, Lord, I remember when you were in charge. I remember when you were God Almighty, high and lifted up. Can you remember? David said, I remember the days of old. He said, I meditate on all thy works. He said, all those things that you did that he prayed about and blessed God over. In Psalms, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, David offers up a prayer to God, starting at verse 18. He said, then went King David in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. Now he said, why, how is it you set me up to be king over these people? And he said, and even at that is a small thing. He said, it wasn't no great big work for God. He said, well, preacher, he was king over Israel. That's right. But it wasn't no great big thing for God. Amen? Because he's God. He said, oh, Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? He said, and what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. There it is. He said, for thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God besides thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. He said, I've been listening. He said, I ain't getting no bad reports. He said, when it comes to the goodness of God, he said, all I get is positive stuff. So I ain't hearing nothing bad. Amen. Hey, listen, if it's coming bad, praise God, it's coming from this world. It's not coming from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, He goes on, he says, and what one nation is in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. Now listen to this, verse 25. He said, "But and now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house, but therefore hath thy servant found his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it be, let please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that in it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever." Amen. So David remembers the conversation that he had with God. Amen. When he magnified God and lifted him up for making him who he was. You realize what God's made you to be? If you're a child of God this morning, this evening, praise the Lord, you're a child of King. You're an heir of the throne of grace. Praise the Lord. You're one of His. And he said he's lifted up his hands. He said, "I remember, David, said, I meditated on all your works." And he said, I muse on the work of thy hands. But David says, "I stand amazed, Lord." You ever just stand amazed at how great God is? He's great because of His power. David said, "I stand amazed, Lord, at Your power." We want to limit God and put Him in a box. But He's all-powerful God. He's able to do all things for all men. Amen? He's nothing that He can't do. Now listen, I like this right here. And David, in verse 6, he said, "I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land." Selah. He said, "Lord," he said, "now that I've come and I've recognized your power," he said, "Lord, I just want to recognize your presence." He says, "Lord," he said, "here I am. Heavenly Father," he comes with just like a little kid with his arms reaching out. He said, "I realize your power." He said, "I realize your presence." He said, "Lord, here I am. Just lift me up. Reach down and pull me to yourself." Amen. What a blessing. And the thing is, God wants to. He desires to. He says, "Stretch forth thine hands unto me, unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee." He said, "Hey, Lord," he said, "I recognize your presence." He said, "I want you to come closer." He said, "I want you to be closer than you've ever been, because I want to be closer than I've ever been." He said, "I don't want to only feel your power, I want to know your presence." Amen. Hey, I don't only know His power, I know how powerful He is. He's all powerful. He's almighty. Amen. But I want to know His presence. I want to feel Him in my heart. I want to feel Him close to me. And he says, "Selah, what do you think about that?" He said, "Hear me speedily, O Lord." He says, "Hey, Lord, I need some help." I mean, that's faith. That's what faith speaks out. Faith speaks out. And it says, "Lord, I need help." That's what our faith is. It's reaching out in faith, believing they can. That's why he said we got to pray believing in order to receive. But when we pray and we say, "Lord, I need your help," he said, "He hear me speedily. Oh, Lord, my spirit faileth." He said, "Hide not thy face from me." I believe David looked back and he thought, he remembered old Saul. Remember old King Saul? He got in there and God says, "This is the way you do things. If you're going to be king, I'm going to anoint you king." And old King took off and old Saul took off and he hid in the stuff. They had to go drag him out of the wagon to make him a king. And they made him king. And he rose up, and God says, "This is the way I want you to do things." And old King Saul took it and he said upon himself to do things in a different order. And God's spirit was withdrawn from him. You remember that? I believe David looked back and he said, "You know what? I remember when the spirit of God was withdrawn from old King Saul." And he said, "Lord," he said, "I don't want you to turn your face from me like you did here. So I want you to keep looking on me. I want you to keep helping me. I want to keep reaching up, praise God. And I just want you to keep pulling me closer." Amen. That ought to be our heart's attitude tonight, just to get as close to God as we can. These last days which we live, just keep drawing closer. He said, "Hide not thy face from me." He said, "Don't turn." See, old Saul ended up going down there and couldn't get a hold of God because he alienated himself from God. Ended up going down there to a witch to try to get counsel. That's what the world's doing today, by the way. We don't like what God says, so we go out there somewhere else, some sorcerer, some soothsayer, to try to get some counsel. We ought to get it from the Word of God, praise God. If we got things in our life that don't line up with what He's saying, praise God, just get right. Amen. Just get right, fix it up, praise God, and go on, plow on for the glory of God. He goes on and says, "Lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit." Well, now listen to what he says. He says, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning." You know what he's saying right here? He said, "Lord, help me to be ready to listen." You know, every time we come to the house of God, we ought to come ready to listen. Because he's got something to say to you. He's got something to say to me that'll help our heart, that'll draw us closer. Amen? Closer than we've ever been if we're just ready to listen. He says, "Prepare me, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning." In other words, he starts, "Help me start listening early. Don't wait till I get old up." Listen, you young fellas, you young people, don't wait till you get old like me and Brother Bill here before you start listening to what God's saying. You need to listen to God today and do what He says. It make it a whole lot easier in your life. You won't make mistakes, amen, that lead you down the wrong road and get you hooked on sex and drugs and alcohol and that you cause you end up in prison. Amen? Just listen to the Lord now, and He'll keep you away from all that stuff. Amen? When God, the Holy Spirit, speaks you to your heart, tells you to leave that stuff alone, when somebody offers you some kind of drugs, let me tell you something, you try that methamphetamine one time, you're hooked. You listen to me, young people. You don't try it. You stay away from it. One time, you're hooked forever. You can't get off of it. I mean, people get, they say they are, but they've always that inside them that wants it. Same things with drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. But just stay away from it and you won't want it. Amen? It's no good. It destroys homes. It destroys lives. It destroys human beings. And God never designed you to be partakers in that. He said, "Listen," he said, "start listening early. Call me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning." He said, "For in thee," this is what he says, "for in thee do I trust." Amen? He said, "Hey, Lord, have me listen to you early because I trust you to tell me right." God never tell you wrong. Amen. If God speaks to your heart, tells you something, amen, it's right. I guarantee it. He says, "Cause me to know the way." Amen. He said, "Help me to be ready to learn." Amen. And he said, "Be ready to learn." And he said, "And help me to know your way." Amen. God, help me to know the way you want me to go, the way you want me to do things. You know, it's important, especially when we make, well, any decision. But when we're making big decisions, we need to go to God. Amen. We need to say, "Lord, I need you to help me." Now, I don't think we don't have to go to God and say, "Lord, do you think I need to brush my teeth now before I go to bed?" Amen. That's a no-brainer. You don't brush your teeth at night before you go to bed, your teeth rot out and you'll be gobbing your food. But there's something, praise God, when we get that we need to take the Lord and ask Him to help us with, to show us. Amen. So that we don't make mistakes, especially when it's big things. Amen. So he said, "Help me to know your way." He said, "Wherein I should walk." He said, "For I lift up my soul unto thee." Amen? So he says, "Lord, help me to know your way. How you want me to go this, how you want me to go, how you want me to handle this thing." And he says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies." Amen? He said, I flee unto thee to hide me. So in other words, God said, you know what? He said, I want to be in your way. And he said, Lord, I want your welcome to be there for me. When I get to where I'm going, to where you told me to go, he said, I want you to be there to welcome me in. Amen. To give me a reception. Praise the Lord. But praise God. That's good. He said, I want you to be there to welcome me in when I get there. He said, deliver me, O Lord. Did God do that? You know, I got to thinking on this. I was looking at this story over in 2 Samuel chapter 15. And the Bible tells you, we don't have to go there, but I'll just tell you, as God began to play this out, David run out of the kingdom. He's got his people. He's got some faithful people that love the Lord. Amen. It's right there with him, ready to die for him. Amen. I thank God for God's people. Amen. That'll stick with you, praise the Lord. That'll go through it all the way. We don't quit on you. He got over there and he got down there. He got down there to the close to the River Jordan, and he looked up, and there was Abiah the Gittite. He was a close friend of David's. I mean, a mighty valiant a man. And he said, you know what? He said, I tell you what you can do for me. And see, now this is God. He's prayed this, and God's done setting this thing up. He said, I need to tell you what. I'm glad you're here. He said, you go over and take the front line in my place. Amen. Because I told David, don't you go to the front line. So they'll be looking for you there. We need to protect you. We need your guidance, your spirituality. He said, okay. He said, Lord, he said, this, I need some help. And Lord says, all right. Next thing you know, there's that Gittite. He said, well, glory. Mighty man of valor. He said, you go over there and you get in that line. You take my place. And he looks up, coming down the road. And here comes another fella, carrying the ark. Amen. Old Zadok the priest, he comes down through there. He's got that ark and he's coming out of Jerusalem. And he says, hold on a minute. He said, where are you going with that? He said, hey, he said, this is the Prince of God. We're right here with you. He said, no. He said, you take that back. He said, you're about God's business. He said, you take it back to Jerusalem. He said, you keep on being about God's business. And praise God. God will work it out. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, God just began to answer David's prayer right here. He began to fix this thing up. He began to put people in the right place. And then he hadn't no more got them two people signed up, and Hushai comes along. Hushai is a close friend of David. Amen. Hushai was a counselor, a mighty counselor, a smart man. He said, son, what are you doing here? He said, I've come to go all the way with you, king. He said, I tell you what, I need you to go all the way with me. I need you to go all the way with me back to the palace. Amen. He said, I'm glad you come. I appreciate your support, but I need you to go back to the palace. I need you to overcome the counsel of Ahithophel. Amen. He's a mighty counselor, but say, I want you to go back. I want you to keep your ears open. I want you to hear what kind of counsel he gives, and I'm going to pray God to give you counsel to overrule him. Amen. So Ahushai, he goes back over to the palace. Ahithophel gets up there, and he begins to give his counsel. And he gave good counsel. He told him, you know, things to do to defile David with his concubines on the rooftop. You know the story. To show him that Absalom was just disdained his father. He had whored his father. And then he said, now then, I'll tell you what you do. He said, let me get up a bunch of men, several thousand men. He said, we'll go out there and we'll just destroy him right now tonight. He said, we'll destroy David alone and we'll bring all the people back. Then you'll be their king. Amen. Had a good plan. It would probably work because God, they were in disarray. They were waiting right there by the River Jordan. Amen. Trapped against the river. Amen. But Hushai, he said, you know what? I said, that ain't a good idea. I said, old David, he's got some mighty men of valor. And he said, you go down there with them like that. He said, they're going to be like an old she-bear that's been separated from her whelp, from her children, from her babies. He said, they're going to be meaner junkyard dogs. He said, you go down there doing that. He said, you're going to lose thousands and thousands. He said, and besides that, David's not going to be with them. He's going to be like an old bear. He's going to be hid off somewhere like a lion, amen, by himself somewhere. And they said, well, you know what? You're right. And you know the story. It said, Ahithophel, he went to the house because they didn't take his counsel, made his household right and hung himself. So they didn't believe his counsel. But then they got David by night and took him out of the told him go ahead and cross the river, get over on the other side, separate himself, spread out. Amen. So they wouldn't get him caught in a bunch. You see, that's what God was doing. He said, deliver me, O Lord. God said, okay, deliverance is coming. Amen. God was already putting it in place. Working out. I won't say praise God. We get on God's side. We're a servant of God. Praise God. Deliverance is coming. Amen. He said, I flee unto thee. Hide me. He said, teach me to do thy will. Your will, God. What you want me to do. Not what I want to do. Lord, what you want me to do. That's where we mess up. We say, Lord, you know, help me to do what I want to do. That ain't God's will. We need to ask God to help us do what He wants us to do. And He'll be satisfied, and we will too. Amen. And He said, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. You know what David does? He surrenders right here. He says, Lord, here I am. I'm your servant. Here I am, Lord. I need you to lead me in the right way. I'm totally surrendering to you. I wonder what happened in our lives if we totally surrendered to God. Just say, Lord, here I am. Amen. He says, quicken me. Now up here, he said, I'm just like a dead man that's been forgotten. He said, Lord, make me alive again. Amen. He said, make me alive in the eyes of the people. Make me alive in the eyes of God. Amen. Make me alive first in the eyes of God. And he said, then I'll be alive in the eyes of people. He said, quicken me. Make me alive, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring that my soul out of trouble. David gets to thinking about it. You know what? He says, you know what? This thing ain't finished yet. Amen? He said, this thing's not finished yet. See, that's why I don't believe that he's talking about when Saul was chasing him. Because he hadn't even been made king yet. But here he's saying, you know what? This thing ain't finished yet. He said, there's still some things that needs to be done for thy sake, for God's sake. He said, I haven't built a temple. He said, I haven't set up an heir. He said, I haven't got things straightened out in the kingdom. I haven't got Israel straightened out on a path toward God. He said, there's things left to be finished. Amen. He said, so I need to be about the Lord's business. Quicken me and make me alive for thy sake. Bring my soul out of trouble and of thy mercy. Cut off mine enemies. Now listen to what he says. He said the mercies to David and the mercies to Israel. He said, that's why you need to do this, Lord. And destroy all them that afflict my soul. He said, for I am, here it is, I am thy servant. Goes back to, he takes him all the way back to the original covenant that he made with him, plumb back in 2 Samuel chapter 7. He said, Lord, he said, I'm your servant. He said, remember me. He said, I need your help here. He said, you can help me. You can bring me through this. Because, Lord, we're not finished yet. We've still got some things we need to accomplish. I'd say he'd say the same thing to you tonight. We could say the same thing. We're the Lord's. We're His. Amen. We're His people. We're His servants. Say, Lord, I'm your servant. And I'm not finished yet. We've still got people that's lost. We've still got souls that need to be saved. We've still got works we need to do. Lord, I'm your servant. I need you to deliver me. I need you to help me, Lord, to get me where I need to be. I want to be a servant. I am a servant of the Most High God. And Lord, I need your help. Amen. That's what David did. And what God do, God helped him. He delivered him. Amen. He delivered him. He'll do the same thing for me and you tonight if we'll trust him tonight and just be his servant.